The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Kelly Ellison, Your Adoption Coach Radio, where each week we bring you the most up-to-date information all about adoption. Our goal here at Your Adoption Coach Radio is to inspire and educate all those who are touched by adoption in some way. You've heard me say this before, one in three people have some connection to adoption. What's yours? You know, we are so happy to be broadcasting from our new home, Adoption.net. Adoption.net is the largest resource for adoption. No matter what you're looking for in adoption, Adoption.net is your resource. That is Adoption.net. We hope that you will check out more of the resources like this show on their website. So today, I have to tell you, I'm so excited. We have a virtual rock star with us, a rock star of adoption, I'm calling him. This is Hank Fortner, who is with Adopt Together. Hank has been featured on, I'm kind of jealous, Hank. He's been featured on Forbes.com, Huffington Post. He was most widely known for raising $4 million in crowdfunding. That's $4 million in crowdfunding. And also launching World Adoption Day on November 8th, 2014. So just very, very excited to have you with us, Hank. Thanks so much. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kelly.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you get started with us. And usually, you know, I have a little bit more of a bio for people, but you just have such an amazing story. And I wanted our listeners to hear it directly from you. You have this, first of all, this unique connection to adoption, being raised in a very large family, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping you might be able to share that. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I grew up in a very unique home. My mom and dad had three of us biologically, so they had my older sister, myself, and my little brother. And pregnancy was really hard on my mom, so they decided like that was kind of all the kids that they thought they could have. And my mom just said she just kept weeping because she kept weeping at the thought that she would only get to have three kids, and which is hilarious to me now because most of my friends. I have two children, and most of my friends look at me, and they're like, how do you even handle life?
Right.
And so then my mom was just feeling like she told me and told my dad that God put her on earth to be a mother. And she was going to take care of as many of the kids as she could possibly do it. And so my dad's response to her was that God put him on earth to make her happy. So mm-hmm. if that's what she wanted, we would do it. So we opened our home as a foster home for a 7-year period. And in that 7-year period, from about when I was anywhere from 6 and 7 years old all the way to when I was 14, we fostered over 36 kids over that period of time. Never more than one or two were in our home at a time, but some kids would stay for 2 or 3 weeks, and some kids would stay for a half a year, and then other kids would stay for 2.5 or 3 years. We had three kids who stayed over 2 years in our home. And just an extraordinary way for us to, as a family, be of service and be a team and be a tribe together. It was unbelievable. When we would have multiple kids come through, there's a portion of foster care called respite care, which means that you're, it anywhere from two days to 2 weeks, and we would have multiple respite kids because my mom was known in the in our county office for never saying no, and my mom was known for taking any child of any special needs, of any complication, and so we would have sometimes three or four kids at a time. And as biological kids and older, I was like an 8-year-old kid. You would get assigned, that's your kid. You have to get that kid food. You got to take that kid's diaper. So I got an unbelievable upbringing and a way to be raised in a world that was so unique and so fun. But after that 7-year period, my parents saw the toll that it takes on a family to have a child bond to the family and then be removed, whether it's for good reasons, like a next of kin, or the mom has her life in order enough to take her child, or sometimes for bad reasons, which was paperwork or racial discrimination in a lot of ways. They didn't want a predominantly white family raising kids of a different color and ethnicity, so they would just move kids. If we, the minute we would make a phone call and inquire about adoption, our kids would be moved. So that was a heavy toll on us as a family, heavy toll on us as kids. So my parents said, all right, we're going to do it in a way that no one can take our kids anymore. So we began adopting. And we adopted my little sister, my first little sister that we adopted her from foster care. So we did a foster to adopt. And just awesome. I still get the chills when I look at the pictures of us at the courthouse. And I'll never forget the judge when he just goes, are you excited to have your little sister? He asked me that right before he said it. And I said, absolutely. And my little sister Hope joined us. And then through the period of time, the next decade, my parents adopted 8 kids from 5 different countries.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So we have a gathering of the UN, or sometimes we call it the Olympics when we get together, and we have just an extraordinary time.
Now, this was I have so many questions floating around in my mind that it's hard to know where to start. But I guess when you say 5 different kids, 5 kids from 8 kids, excuse me, from 5 different countries, you and I both know how expensive that is in terms of the cost of international adoption. Can I ask, how did your family swing that? That's a lot.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, my parents are not people of means. Like, we were, my dad made a very modest salary. I thought we shopped at thrift stores and drove old cars because we were, like, you know, sticking it to the rich people. But it turns out it's because every other year my dad was spending his year's salary in an adoption.
Yes, exactly.
And he was a CPA who learned the rules of accounting, which you never spend more than you make, and learned how to figure out how to budget our way through. I wish there were the tools available there are now, like this broadcast, like adoption.net. There was no internet when we were adopting. Yeah. There was the way that you found information and the way that you gathered space, like what we have with Adopt Together. The way that you got financial resource and help was someone who just said, hey, I'd like to give you some money. There were no resources, and there was no help out there. So my parents really were just charging ahead, going, "This nothing's going to stop us." And so it was very expensive. Even the domestic adoptions that we did, that as people who know who are listening who have been through a domestic adoption, you just get nickel and dimed to this large amount, and you're like, "I thought this was supposed to be cheap," and then you go international, and it's even more. Exaggerated. And what we find is that the less developed the country is, the more expensive it is. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but the less developed the country is, the more you have sort of off-book expenses because there's just less oversight.
Yeah. That's so interesting. So unknown expenses that happen in international adoption, and you and I are kindred spirits in this regard, knowing that the number one barrier for adoption is the high cost, and that is today relevant in the domestic and also in the international field. So fortitude is the word that comes to my mind for your family and for your parents about how they were so completely dedicated to that. But I have to ask you, just honestly, as a child growing up and you had all these children in your home, you were given all this responsibility. As an adult, you can appreciate that. But weren't there moments when you kind of resented that, or you kind of wished that maybe there were only just the three of you? Weren't there just a few moments like that?
You know, people have asked me that my whole life. Really? And I don't know if it's just that I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. But I looked at people who had like just a brother and parents, and I thought, your life must be so boring. Oh. Like, I would look at people who were only children and they had all these toys and all this stuff. And when they turned 16, they got a new car and that kind of stuff. And I would just go, what a boring life they must lead. Like, they'll go home and it's quiet in their house. And I would go to their house and be like, why is it so clean? And there's no, you know, there's just old people furniture. Like, my perspective was so, it was mm-hmm. such an adventure to grow up the way I grew up. And we had, there was so much joy and so much love in our home. I never took myself out of it to think, oh, could I have anything more? I felt like I had a life I didn't deserve. Even as a 10-year-old kid, I was like, who gets to have this life?
That's great.
It's just incredible. So I never felt that sense that I wanted more somehow. And I think the process of foster care and the process of adoption, it brought all of us so much fulfillment that I just don't think we ever wanted for anything. We weren't rich in any stretch of the imagination. But I don't remember having a thing like, man, I wish my parents drew nicer cars, or we had a bigger house, or I didn't have to share a bedroom with two brothers. It just never crossed my mind. We were just so fulfilled.
Yes, it sounds like you were really filled up. Now, do your other biological brothers and sisters agree with you? Did they feel the same way now that you feel? Is this kind of across the board?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about that recently. You know, now that we have our own children and our biological kids, and maybe we all three of us who were biological to my parents, we all three of us have biological children. So the three of us haven't adopted yet. And we had a conversation about that just recently, and I sat around. My wife and I, we have two biological children with plans to adopt a third. And I brought that up, and they were like, are you sure? And I was like, oh, I'm not sure what. They're like, we've done this 8 times. Like, because to us, we were so entrenched and so involved that when people ask me when I'm going to adopt, the question doesn't even compute, because I go, I've done that 8 times. I don't even know.
Yes.
Traveled. I was in country with my parents. I traveled a year later and brought gifts and photos and presents to families who are foster care families. And so we've been so entrenched in that. But I think for my siblings, I don't think it's any sense of loss or any sense of that we've lost any anything from by losing our parents. If anything, we just grow in deeper and deeper admiration and respect for who our parents are. Knowing now how hard it is to have two kids, you're like, oh my gosh, you had 11 of these.
What were you thinking?
Who are you? Some kind of superhuman saint?
They are. Well, no, they are superhuman.
They're just incredible.
Yeah.
They're just incredible.
That's great. Hank, we've got to take a break, and I know folks want to stick around because we're going to talk about your website, Adopt Together, and your great vision for how you're helping families who are choosing the path of adoption. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to talk also about more about World Adoption Day and how that got started and how you got involved. So you're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio with Kelly Ellison on adoption.net. Stay with us.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I want to do a call out to our sponsors who really helped to make this show possible: European Adoption Consultants, Adoption Network Law Center, and Your Adoption Finance Coach. Without the generous support of our sponsors, this show could not be possible. Each week, we're able to bring you the most exciting information and resources about adoption. If you're interested in joining our distinguished sponsors, you can go to adoption.net and click on Your Adoption Coach Radio for more information. So we are back with Hank Fortner with Adopt Together. The website is adopttogether.org, and a wonderful website talking about how to really providing an opportunity for families to do crowdfunding, a crowdfunding venue for families. And we're going to talk a little bit about that one. So one of the things I want to know is there's these two things, Hank, and that is Adopt Together and then World Adoption Day. And mm-hmm. as I looked at your website, the vision behind all of this, so which one came first, the vision for Adopt Together or the vision for Adopt World Adoption Day, or did it all happen all at once?
Yeah, no, the World Adopt Together was our beginning, and a lot of that came out of people asking the same question you asked in our previous segment before our break, which was like, how did you afford 11 adoptions? Would they ask me about my family? And I never wondered. I was always like, well, I don't know. I didn't know. When you're a kid, you don't know how your parents are paying for anything. So I didn't even ask. And I went back to him and I said, hey, how expensive is adoption? He's like, oh. And he started showing me the numbers. And I was like, how did you do that? And he's like, just by grit. And so I said, hey, I've got people asking me about adoption. And I just said, there's no help out there. There's small granting organizations, but the grants were somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000 and $5,000, and as you know, even a domestic adoption can get into the $20,000 range, and even the international adoption can get into the $30,000 and $40,000 range. So I was like, hey, these people want to adopt, they want to be a part of, they want to grow their family through adoption. How do we do this? So my dad and I actually worked on starting to create a foundation that we were going to do the old school way. Hey, get some rich people to throw in some money, and then people would ask for grants, and then we'd write it, kind of the way everybody was doing it at the time. And then I was watching an episode of the Colbert Report, and I always refer to this because I do think this guy was onto something. Stephen Colbert was interviewing a guy who had created a website called MyFreeImplants.com. It was a way that girls who wanted breast augmentations could put on online that they wanted this to happen, and then sympathetic men would then make donations. And in his first year of this sort of like questionable gray area, whatever you want to call it, 4,000 boob jobs were covered in his first year, like free for women. So I call my dad and I'm like, hey, man, you got to go to myfreeimplants.com. He's like, I'm sitting at the kitchen table. I am not going to myfreeimplants.com. I was like, no, you need to go. You got to check this out. And I said, this is what we got to do with the foundation, is we got to find a way where families can tell their story in a way that gives people a chance to be a part of the adoption. Just so all my life, people have said, I love what your parents do. We don't have the space or the family lifestyle or or even the resources to be able to do that, but I wish we could have helped you, or I wish we could have been a part of that. And I find that so many times is that people don't have the on-ramp to help with adoption or to be a part of adoption. Even if they have a heart for it and love it, they might be single, or they might be divorced, or they might have all their kids are grown, or they might be too old, and they might go, hey, I don't have room for a child in my life, but I'd love to help. And so we wanted to create an on-ramp for people to be able to assist families in that process. So we filed with the IRS and got our 501c3, which was a challenge, but we did all of it with our T's and our I's and got the whole thing covered. And then we worked in the development process, and we launched on January 7th, 2012, which was my birthday. We launched on my 30th birthday with one profile. It was just for my friends who were adopting from Uganda, and they were like, hey, it's too expensive. They were the original friends that I'd had that had asked. And I said, I'm going to launch this tool for you. I don't know if we'll get any other families, but I know it's going to work for you. And they went on to raise about $42,000 in about 6 months ago, a full two and a half years later. They brought home their little boy named Joshua. So it's been incredible. And once we launched with that family, it was like just some kind of weird moment where every morning we would wake up with two or three more profile requests. And we're like, we don't even know how these people found us. We just wanted to start. We didn't do any advertising. We didn't get any press. We just started as humble as we could with one family and served anybody who came to us.
Right. So how does it work, Hank? And you know that I have what I do in my other life beyond my radio show is the adoption finance coaching system. So I help families on a pretty regular basis to fund their adoption. So a lot of questions that, that came to mind in terms of Adopt Together, how does it work? So families get a profile, right? Tell us a little bit about the logistics of how it works.
Yes. So first step is families request a profile from us. What it requires to have a profile on our site is you just have to have a letter from your adoption agency, or you have to have an approved home study. So that certifies to all of our donors that every family who's on this profile, because we have tons of people who, and we know who they are, but we have tons of people who troll the site, and they look through our site and they go, we want a gift of anybody adopting from China. And they will. Regular people will go, strangers are donating to us. And they're doing that. And so our commitment to those donors and to any donor is any family on our site is an approved adoptive family. Now, the way that we do things, because we're tax deductible, and one of the unique things about Adopt Together is we're a tax deductible donation that can also write grants directly to families or directly to adoption agencies for approved expenses. And some of those approved expenses, they just need to be documented. The way that we do that is that a family then, once you're approved for a profile, you create that profile and share it. You send it out over Twitter and Facebook and email. We have some resources available where people can get some coaching on how to maximize the tool that is Adopt Together. And I'm going to be sending as many of our families as possible to the Adoption Coach Network, because I feel like what you do, Kelly, is so important. And what we'll do is then once the successful funding has occurred, then what we do is we receive all those as designated donations. And then the family actually writes a grant for that specific cost that they're incurring, whether it's an adoption agency or they have to pay for a home study or they have to pay for travel or they've incurred these costs. And all they do is they write a grant request, and then our board evaluates it based on how much that family has raised. And then they send those grants out to those families.
Okay, so you're answering all of those questions, because obviously there are cash gift registries. Mine, for example, gotchagiftregistry.com. And then there are registries like yours that are tax deductible. So for the person who's giving the gift. And there are lots of different scenarios for each group. And one of the things that is interesting about this is that everybody wants to know, well, the person that's going to give me that $100 or $500, is it tax deductible for them? So you've clarified that with us. It is tax deductible for them, correct? The person that's getting the gift.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Totally tax deductible. And that was a prerequisite for us, because what our goal with Adopt Together is, and the reason there's lots of crowdfunding sites out there now. When we first started, really Kickstarter was the only other crowdfunding site. People didn't really know what crowdfunding was. And when we started Adopt Together, we just made a decision to be 100%
laser focused on adoption, because what we wanted to do was create an irresistible giving environment for any donor who came to that space. Mm-hmm. So a person could just go, man, I've got to give to this family and I have to give. So all of the messaging you see on our website, all the messaging you see on our blog or in our videos is designed to inform the donor and in designed to encourage them to give directly to family. And one of those barriers we wanted to remove was, well, will I get a tax deduction for this?
Right.
And the answer to that is yes.
Okay. And so when the money comes in to the foundation, and most people don't, you know, the layperson doesn't necessarily know this, but individuals cannot be used as the nonprofit agency, rather, cannot be used as a pass-through for an individual. So how
right.
do you do that? Do you pool the money together, and that's where the grants process happens for you?
Yep. And okay. then we have an independent board who then mm-hmm. evaluates us. So Adopt Together is our project. Our foundation is called Hoping Hearts. And so when they write okay. the check, they're going to Adopt Together, but really they're going into Hoping Hearts. And then we have a board, and the board evaluates all the requested grants, which is informed by how much they raised and informed by how much our development team has raised as well. So we're pooling money, and we're pulling money from a lot of different places, because our goal is to fund as much of the family's process as humanly possible, whether it's through what they raised or through what we raised through other sponsorships or through what we raised through other people. We have lots of people come to us and just go, hey, here's $10,000. I want you to use it wherever it's needed most.
Right. Okay.
So we end up with a lot of that, and our board just keeps track of all of that in the most prudent way.
So if a family raises $1,000 on their profile, can the families raise specific money on their profiles? Like you're designating your gift to a particular family. Do they actually get that $1,000, or that $1,000 goes to the foundation and it's in the pool?
Yep, it goes to the foundation. And then what happens is it's taken in consideration as a designated donated gift.
Okay.
And to date, what we've done is every family who has raised funds on their profile has received a net donation of about 95% of what they received in donations and of what we wrote to them in grants.
So, are there any fees associated with it, Hank? Meaning, any transaction fees or any kind of administrative fees that are associated with the processing?
The board takes into consideration just the credit card fees and those sorts of things. And so that's why it usually ends up coming back to the family in about a 95%. Our average right now, or our most consistent, is a 95 to 96% return.
That is great.
So if a person gave $1,000, you can usually just calculate it and go, hey, there's going to be American Express fees here, and there's going to be some other fees here. So you just go, you can calculate it, because the board has to calculate it again, because they don't want to dip into any other family's resource.
In order
to pay a grant. And so you end up with, and it's, again, we're a volunteer run organization. So our overhead is about as low as you could humanly get as an organization. And so everything is only based on need. And so to date, all the families have received about 95 to 96% of what they've raised.
That's great. So we're going to take a short break. And at this point, I understand 1,100 families, $5 million raised total. And I'm talking to Hank Fortner, who is the founder of Adopt Together. The website is adopttogether.org. Stay with us. We will be right back with more good news from Hank.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. A call out for your adoption finance coach, where we provide comprehensive financial services to adoption agencies who want to help their families bridge that financial gap. We help them solve the money problem. By working with families one-on-one, training resources are available, a gift registry service, and special events. We can help your families create a comprehensive financial plan for your adoption. If you are a family struggling with the high cost of adoption, your agency isn't providing this service, you can contact us and we will reach out to them. You can find out more information on our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. That's youradoptionfinancecoach.com. And so we are back. We're back with my new friend, Hank Fortner, who's with Adopt Together. I really love this concept. And you know as well as I do, Hank, that there's no greater community that you can build around adoption. I just find it really amazing. You know, you said it in the last segment, and that is sometimes people are giving anonymous gifts. They're like, here, I want to give money to this family.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing thing that people want to be a part of that story. And I struggle often with helping my families to realize that it's really not about asking for money. It's about sharing your journey. And that's really the key. Just inviting people in to be a part of the journey is where that magic happens. So Adopt Together, if you haven't found that website, go out, check it out, adopttogether.org, and you'll be able to see how you can be a part of either a family who is adopting, or if you are in the process of an adoption, you can check out how to get a profile on that. So, tell us about, I'm going to switch gears for just a moment here, and tell us about World Adoption Day, November 8th. So you had your first World Adoption Day last year, November 8th, 2014. Is that right?
Did I get that right?
Okay. So how did this vision come together? You were busily working at Adopt Together, and yeah. You said, okay, I have another wonderful idea, right?
Yeah, we didn't have enough to do.
Right.
We're only 1,000 families, so what we ended up doing is looking for a way to celebrate at each milestone as an organization. We've thrown a party. And one of my friends, he's the founder of an organization called Charity Water, which helps people find ways to creatively and really successfully resource people in the developing world with clean water. And he's been a great mentor of mine. I met with him before we launched Adopt Together. And his advice to me was throw a party every milestone you hit. So when we hit $250,000, which we felt like was so huge, we threw a party.
Yeah.
When we hit $500,000, we threw a party. When we hit $1 million, we threw a party. So we were about to hit $5 million. And in just 3 years, that was a lot of parties in. And so we were like, all right, let's throw an event. And I said, let's do it around World Adoption Day, because my friend has a charity where they provide eyeglasses to people without access to them, and they do World Sight Day, and they do a big event. And my other friend has a charity, Scott, that does World Water Day, and they do a big event for that. So our team's sitting on the table. There's 10, 12 volunteers, and I just said, hey, let's find out when World Adoption Day is. And everyone is, like, kind of puzzled,
And they look up and they're like, hey, we can't find it. And I'm like, no, wait, it's possible. And I look around and I go, you come to find out there's nothing, there's no such thing as World Adoption Day. And I had that same feeling that I had when we were looking for a way to crowdfund adoptions. I just couldn't believe it hadn't been done before. So I just said, all right, I guess we know what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate $5 million, and we're going to launch an international celebration of adoption. And so the team was like, wait, we're going to make a day? And I'm like, okay, we should look into this. So I was like, I called the UN, and I just called whatever number I could find on a website and got transferred in on hold. And I said, hey, I'd like to submit a day. And he says, cool, what country are you an ambassador for? And I was like, I'm not. I'm just a guy. and he said, yeah, you know, you need like delegates and you need at least 7 countries and it's not going to do it. I said, okay, can I get in trouble if I launch a day without, you know, you guys? And he goes, well, you can't launch a day, sir. That's not a real day. And I was like, well, it'll be as real as anyone thinks it is. I mean, you have World Mountain Day and there's World Donut Day and there's World Dog Day and World Quinoa Day.
Oh, gosh.
I said, but nobody celebrates those. You only celebrate what you know about. And he said, well, it won't be real. And I was like, well, okay. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to do it through social media. And he goes, best of luck, sir. He was really kind. And so I got the team together, and we created a hashtag. We put together a website, whipped it together in a couple of weeks, and invited people with this really unique thing that came from just telling the story to one of my friends. We asked people to write a smiley face on their hand.
Yeah,
and take a picture because we wanted to give everybody with an iPhone a chance to celebrate with us. That even if you like you said as you began the show, Kelly, 1 in 3 people have a personal connection to adoption, and I've heard that stat, and I just go, I haven't met anybody who hasn't met anybody who's adopted or doesn't know somebody. So it has to be even more, at least in the world I'm in. And so I just started inviting people. Hey, can we take a smiley face picture of you, and would you post this on World Adoption Day? Started inviting people to be ambassadors. One thought we had was, in order for a day to be celebrated, it has to be international, so it's truly World Adoption Day. And we wanted to give people a way to be involved. If they couldn't adopt or they were too young or too old or didn't have the resource, we go, hey, we want to give you a chance to celebrate World Adoption Day with a singular goal of creating a day a year where the world was paying attention to and celebrating the way families had grown through adoption and how beautiful it is to grow your family through adoption. And so we started putting it together, and we had 182 ambassadors just contact us through the website. And again, the internet is a magical place. I have no idea how these people found me. I was getting phone calls from Turkey and Cyprus, phone calls from South Africa, phone calls from Canada, phone calls from Brazil of people saying, we want to be involved. We're hosting a party here. We're doing an event here. So we had an event in about 15 countries happening all at the same time. And we had an event in New Zealand, and the crisis for them was, well, we're a day ahead of you. You want us to do it on the day you're on or on our day? And I said, do it on your Sunday, do it on your day. And so really New Zealand celebrated it first of anybody else. And it was just an extraordinary day. We had over 11,000 posts on Instagram, from supermodels to celebrities to actors to adoptive moms to people who were adopted to people who were telling their story for the first time on Instagram with a smiley face saying, I just want to, thank my adoptive family. And I want to thank my birth mother for being so brave and putting all that up there. It was just an incredible day that was so, so powerful for all of us. And I think for the world to get a chance to experience a day where we celebrate adoption in a new and fresh way. It was really, right. Really incredible.
Right. And so I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, Hank, talk about how you created Adopt Together and now how you've created World Adoption Day. Is this what you do full time? Are you involved in these organizations full time as their CEO? Do you do other things?
Yeah. No, I have 2 other jobs. I'm a full-time pastor at a church in Hollywood, right on the corner of Hollywood and La Brea. Our church is called Mosaic. And we have just an extraordinary community here. So that is more than a full-time job. It's extraordinary. And then I also am a fashion photographer as well. So I do a lot of fashion photography in addition. So this has been sort of a long running thing. I definitely cannot juggle all these things at once. So I'm slowly removing things especially with my two daughters. I'm slowly removing anything that is non-essential from my space.
Right.
But I've been a volunteer with Adopt Together ever since its inception. It's a passion project, and my dad and I are both two of the top donors. And our goal and our hope is just to create a world where there's a family for every child waiting for them, whether they're born to a family that can take care of them and can love them and can be their family, or whether they're born into a family where they need assistance and they need adoption as the option.
Right. Well, I have to tell you, very impressive. You know, your partner, Scott Harrison, I think was listed on your website with Charity Waters, a model, Jessica Stamm. You're connected to, as you mentioned, Mosaic, the church. And just a lot of different folks are involved in this. And what you had said, 11,000 posts, 15 countries, 200 ambassadors, all raising awareness about adoption. You've really got a tiger by the tail here. This thing is going to get bigger and bigger. So what are the plans for next year? Are there collaborations with other organizations, Joint Council, Adoption Council, Both Ends Burning? You know, there's a lot going on in terms of adoption, at least from my perspective that I can see. And this has your concept and World Adoption Day has an opportunity to bring all of those together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wish we would have had the time and the staff to kind of recruit all the adoption organizations. And I'm sure they're both ends burning, no pun intended, as well, just in their organization. So we just kind of threw the floodgates open, and adoption.com and the Dave Thomas Foundation and anybody we could reach out to in the amount of time. We just did. We had about 30 days, and we were like, hey, we're going to launch a day in a month. So this year, I'm so glad we have time really to invite some of these organizations to partner with us and join with us. Because our goal is, like you mentioned earlier, finances tends to be the number one reason that families don't adopt. But just because your family or that you feel like, hey, it's not time for me to adopt, what we don't want to do is ever let a person go, well, that's not my issue, or that's not something that my family can engage in. Really, the fact that there are 19 million orphans in the world is something that's a part of the planet that we're all a part of. It affects us all in some way, shape, or form. Our goal is that there's no children out there who have to go fatherless or motherless for any reason, whether it was because we didn't raise the banner high enough to create the vision for adoption or the celebration for adoption, or because we didn't invite people into the resource that was available to them to be able to adopt. So for us, the goal for World Adoption Day is to create a day where all the people who adoption never crosses their mind, and being adopted and having the pride of being adopted doesn't cross their mind throughout the year. We want to create a day where the whole world, whether it's any of our, we're looking for, we have in conversations with a couple of different large food chains. We'd love to do it, to partner with a couple of organizations that would then donate money back towards to families who are adopting, so that World Adoption Day can not only be a day of celebration, but it can also be a day of great resource pointed towards those families who are headed in the direction of being adopted.
Right. We've got to take a break, but we are going to come back. Thanks so much for sharing this vision with us. Hank Fortner, adopttogether.org, and now worldadoptionday.org. Do stay with us. We'll be back with more from Hank.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. We're here with Hank Fortner, who is the founder and CEO of AdoptTogether.org, a wonderful crowdfunding source that is helping adoptive families to raise the money that they need for their adoptions. And for all of the listeners who I know stay with me with my show, you know that this is a passion for me. And the number one barrier to adoption is the high cost. If we can help folks to bridge that financial gap, we have made a huge difference in a child's life. And that's really the whole reason why I do what I do, and I know it's why Hank is putting his energy into this. Also, worldadoptionday.org, which is coming up November, well, it's in a while, November 8th, 2015. And we will continue to look at your website to see what information is coming up about some of the events and things. Can you tell us about anything that's planned for this coming year, Hank?
Yeah, we've got some really cool ways. What we're going to do this year is invite people to host an event for World Adoption Day. So we're going to make it possible. So if anyone listening, you're an adoptive family or you're an adoption agency or you're even a person who goes, hey, I want my office. We're going to take a pause in the middle of the day to celebrate World Adoption Day. We're going to give people a chance to do that. That sort of happened last year just sort of spontaneously, but we're going to make that kind of a big push for us and see. We're going to see how many countries we can get to have celebrations, how many states, how many counties, how many cities, how many churches will jump on board with us, with synagogues and temples. We want everybody involved as much as possible to celebrate this with us.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So if you want to get more information about that, that's on the website, right? WorldAdoptionDay.org. That's on the website.
Our new website will be up in about 2 months or so, where you'll have that option to say, hey, I want to host an event. And will there be ambassadors, which you can be an ambassador if you'd like, or you can jump in and go, hey, I'd like to be a host.
So what do the ambassadors do?
The ambassadors are our chief mouthpiece. So they're okay. The ones who go out. They're recruiting people to celebrate. They're recruiting people to be a part of that. And they're also the ones that post a lot of our key information. So without our ambassadors, we had about 180, I think, but at the end of it, we couldn't have gotten the word out the way that we did. They were the ones who posted. They were the ones who tweeted. They were the ones who really helped us move. They were our communication army. So to be an ambassador is really to be a person who goes to wherever your circle of influence is and says, hey, is there any way for us to get involved with World Adoption Day?
Okay, great. So opportunities to be an ambassador, opportunities as countries to participate, corporations, obviously, organizations. You can check that out at worldadoptionday.org. That's worldadoptionday.org. So I want to switch subjects a little bit here, Hank, before we have to leave today. And I know that you are probably keenly aware of the issues that are related around international adoption. Not only is it the rising cost, but all the political barriers, mm-hmm. the accreditation issues. I mean, when your parents were doing international adoption, a lot of this did not even exist. So I'm just curious, I'd love for you to share your perspective on kind of where international adoption is and the future of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great
continuation of the conversation around World Adoption Day. I'm headed to the UN in March for an event that is called Men Against Women Against Men Against Violence Against Women. And in so doing, there's a lot of different delegates that are there who are so curious about World Adoption Day. You know, there's a reason that the UN didn't have World Adoption Day listed, and a lot of it is the issues you mentioned, the issues with international adoption and the issues with taking a child out of their culture and bringing them into ours. You know, all those things, to me, are just more barriers and more ways that keep kids out of families. There's a recent New York Times article about how many kids, girls and boys, in the countries of Korea who are there because Korea has closed their borders because their volume was too high of kids who were being adopted internationally, both to Australia and Canada, the UK, as well as the US. And to me, that's just a it's just a disappointing thing when you have countries who will make political decisions about the way that they look or the way that they're perceived or how what is accredited without thinking about those children. And for me, the tides will tip. I love that the New York Times did an article about that. I love that we're getting UN delegates considering this. I have co-chairs of UN events calling me saying, we've got to get this as an official day. This has to be a day. Our goal is has to be in part political. Our goal has to be in part convincing those countries that the welfare of their children has to be first and foremost, more important than the reputation of their country and more important than their face or what happens as they're ranked as a country. So for me, it's just going to create more of a demand. It's going to create more of a need for families. It's going to create more of a space where people who are who feel that pull and feel that call and know that their home is open to adoption. We're going to need more and more families in the future, not less.
Well, and you may or may not know, a good friend of mine is Craig Gentinen with Both Ends Burning and the Stuck Campaign. And Chuck or Craig has been on the show a number of times to talk about this issue. We have no lack of resources of willing families who would love to bring a child home from abroad. We have no lack of that. It's really just the political and financial barriers that keep those families from moving quicker than they would like to. I really hope that World Adoption Day is going to raise the awareness on this, as you said, and help people to really understand the problems that are associated with that. And I, everyone who listens to my show on a regular basis, I'm an adoptive parent, international adoptive parent, and love the whole idea of how families can build their how people can rather build their families through adoption. And international adoption has been such a blessing to us, and it can be a blessing for so many people. So I want to thank you, Hank, for being a part of our show today. What a great opportunity to learn more about you, and thanks so much for what you're doing. We will keep posted on all of your progress. Again, you can find out more information about Hank at adopttogether.org or worldadoptionday.org. And go to those websites, check it out, and see if there might be a family that you might be interested in providing a donation to or participating in World Adoption Day. Before we go, I want to give a final call out to our sponsors, EAC Adoption, European Adoption Consultants, Adoption Network Law Center, and Your Adoption Finance Coach. If you'd like to connect with us, remember you can find our show on Voice America Still or on adoption.net. Thanks again for being with us. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, or you can find us on adoption.net. Thanks for joining us. Tune in next week, same place, same time. Have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.